Good morning. Good to be with you folks here this morning. Good to be back in God's house. I tell you what, I'm just so blessed and privileged to be here this morning to be with you all. A little bit ago, if you would, turn to Matthew 13. Matthew 13 is where I want to be. I'll have you stand here in a minute, but when I pulled into the church here this morning and got out of my car, as I started across the road there, a semi-truck ran over me. And you're looking at me like, where's the evidence? Right? Well, let me tell you something. I got a point to it. Why this little story, what I'm going to read to you, because whenever something happens to you like the new birth in your life, whenever you're born again, there'll be evidence. We're going to take a test this morning. And when we take this test, it's not me pulling something out of the air. It's over in 1 John. 1 John will tell you whether or not you're a Christian or not. If you would, let's stand, turn to Matthew 13, beginning with verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then has this tares? And he saith unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant saith unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay. Lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reaper, gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat unto my barn. Folks, before I pray, I want to tell you something this morning, what I believe. I believe there's a lot of tares among the church. I'm not just saying this church. I'm saying there's a lot of churches where there's a lot of tares in amongst the wheat. And I believe that you know what? You can tell the difference between the tares and the wheat because there will be evidence in their life. Absolutely, positively. In other words, Jesus was saying this. He said true converts and false converts will be together. And it's not for us to take the tares out. One day He will do that. My point in this sermon this morning is I want everybody to examine themselves. We're all taking this test. There's 10 points to it. And if you're not on board with all 10 of these, you need to examine your soul. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I want to come thanking you, Father, for your mercy. I want to come thanking you for your grace. I want to thank you for the love that you bestowed upon each and every one of us, Lord. I thank you, Father, for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your abundant grace, Lord. Not just your grace, your abundant grace that you give us and you poured out upon each and every one of us. Lord, I pray, Father, this morning for the hearts and souls that are here, Lord. I pray for those, Lord, that are out in these fields that we need to go out in amongst, Lord. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that you would give us the opportunity and the witness and the desire, Father, to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray and ask, and amen. And amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you a bunch. I was talking to someone here in the church when I come in this morning. And she was talking, this individual was talking about someone she knew that went to church their whole life. And said that she come to them and she told them, she said, she doesn't know for sure if she's saved. I'm telling you, that's sad. That's sad. I'm telling you this morning, if you are born again, you know that you are born again. There should not be no doubt in your life. You know whether or not you're saved. Listen, in a recent statistics that were taken, it said this in a recent poll amongst the evangelical church itself. I'm not going to go into all these things because when I pull this stuff out, it'd take me all day to bring it back. But it shows me that the proof is in the pudding. The proof of it is in the statistics. Brother, the point is there's a lot of tares in the churches today. If you've not been noticing the deal just Friday with the United Methodist Church, And we know what's been going on there, but you just have to dig in a little bit and you see that there's been a lot of tares put in amongst this. These people who do not have the evidence of the new birth in their life. I believe this is pandemic in the evangelical church today. I'm here to tell you I believe it wholeheartedly. I'm not going to stand up here and try to point my finger at nobody in here, because you're going to take this test yourself. And I don't want to see hands. I want you to take it with your own soul and with your own mind. And please, please do this in a way that you're looking at and saying, man, is that me? We are to examine ourselves, the Bible says. The Bible tells us we are to examine ourselves. I am not supposed to go around and examine anybody else in this church, and I won't. That's not what I do. I try to preach what God gives me to preach. But what Sean had mentioned this morning, and me and Jamie talked about, I don't talk to anybody in here what they teach. I don't go in here and try to tell them what they, if they get too far out on some limb, then I'll talk to them. But it hasn't the case. But I know that God works things in His way, and He brings things. I believe what He preached, what He taught, what I'm preaching, and I believe what Jamie's going to preach tonight is all going to go in. It's going to coincide with what needs to be preached and taught here. We are to examine ourselves. 2 Corinthians, it tells us this: examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. It said, prove your own self. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. That's what it's telling. We are to examine our own selves to do this. Matthew 7:5 says this: thou hypocrite, thou first cast out the beam that is in thine own eye, then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. I give some guys some stuff here, some people some stuff here a little bit ago. I give it to them. And this is what it's trying to say. If I'm going to go up to Greg and I'm going to say, Greg, I'm going to take that little speck off of you that he's got right there. You can hold it up. I want to get that out of your eye. I can't even get to him because what's in my eye. Right? Right? I can't even do that to Sean. I give it to Sean a little bigger. I can't get to him. I can't get to Nancy. I can't get to Larry. I can't. Folks, whenever we start judging, the Bible says, the Bible's not saying that we can't judge, but what it's saying in us right there is this. It said, get what's in your eye out of there first. When you do that, then you'll be able to see clearly to remove the little speck that is in somebody else's eye. But brothers and sisters, it needs to be done. When we can lovingly see what's going on, we can lovingly see, when we get the mote out of our own eye, then we're able to be what we say, fruit inspectors. In Luke 6:43, it says this, starting there. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doeth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. You're not going to get bad fruit off of a good tree, and you're not going to get good fruit off of a bad tree. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For of the thorns man do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth's going to speak. You can fool people for a while, but eventually your mouth is going to betray you because it's coming from the heart. If you have rotten fruit, you have a rotten root. Can I tell you that here this morning? And I'm just being as honest as I can be with you. Listen, being born again is a radical experience. I'm just here to tell you, there's nothing that's not radical about being born again. When a spiritually dead man or a woman are made alive in Christ, that's no different than what kind of an experience would have happened if I'd have got run over by a semi-truck out there. There would have been evidence. If you're born again here this morning, it'd be that much of a radical change in your life that there will be evidence of it. Amen. There shall be a change in your life. There will be evidence of the Holy Spirit dwelling in your life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this: therefore, if any man be in Christ, He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You cannot change yourself. It has to be through the power of the Holy Ghost changing you. Behold, all things become new. This is where I would like to present to you the test to you this morning. And to everyone who might listen to this sermon out here over the web sometime, this is for everybody in here. This is for me. Not a test that I've made up. It's found over in 1 John. You know, what I'm going to talk to you about is necessary evidence of the new birth in your life. Necessary evidence. This is something that is necessary in everybody that's been born again. This is in your life. 1 John's called the book of examination. That's what it's called. 1 John, that's what it's called. It's called the book of examination. For anybody, I had a preacher one time, went into a church, and this is what he preached on for the first month he was there. Because he said, I want to know that the church is where it should be before I go on. He said, you wouldn't believe the amount of people he had knocking on his office door within 2 months. 1 John 5:13. This is why John did this. I want to give this to you first. This is why John wrote the book of 1 John. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that, get this, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. That's why John wrote the book of 1 John. He wrote it this way. He said, that ye may know that you have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. That is why John wrote the book. So if you want an examination book, 1 John is it. John wants every individual to take this test. That's preachers. That's teachers. That's anybody that's sitting in this church this morning. That's anybody that claims to be a Christian. He doesn't want a congregation filled with unwise virgins. Did you know that? Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Do you know what the oil represents? That's the Holy Ghost. They went out thinking, this, you know, I'm fine. This is what I'm talking about when it tears. I'm good. Everything's just good in my life. But they went out thinking that they were right. They did not have the Spirit in their lives. If you do not see these evidences in your life, you better examine yourself. You better make sure all the questions I'm going to ask you this morning should be present in every born-again believer. Test 1, 1 John 1:7. Turn there if you would. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I want you to notice something. There's going to be one theme through this. If, you'll see the word if. If this, then that. If this is in your life present, if you're a Christian, then this should be present in your life. That's what he's saying. Fellowship means this. Having Jesus Christ at the center of your conversation and your thoughts. That's what he's saying right here. When you get together with people, when you get together with fellow believers, as you say, is Jesus Christ the center of your thought, of your concentration, everything to you? That's what John's asking. Because he is the chief priority of everyone's life. He should be the chief priority of everyone's life. Absolutely. We will enjoy spending time with fellow believers, yes. More than we do the lost. I'm just going to be blunt to you. That's what John's saying here as well. We will want to spend fellowship, talking about the one that saved us with fellow believers that believe the same thing. We will want to spend more time with them than we do the lost. We talked with Sean, brought a good point out this morning. You know what? We don't want to cast the lost aside. I'll get into this more here in a little bit. That's not it. But your heart and desire should be want to spend fellowship with fellow Christians. That should be your desire. Not saying that you don't have lost friends, but you should prefer spending time with Christians. Amen? John, let's read it again, what John said there. Let's read what he said. I wrote it down here. I want to read what he said. He said, if ye walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. If you're in the light, if you're born again, you'll want fellowship one with the other, and that fellowship should center around Jesus Christ. Absolutely. Did you bear that fruit? Question number two can be found in 1 John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You know what that means? That's meaning, what is your attitude towards your sin? What is your attitude towards your sin? Oh, well, I messed up. It was just a boo-boo. Do you know what Paul said over in Romans 7:24? O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? That should be our attitude towards us and our sin. It shouldn't be, well, it's just something that just happened. No, 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 no. We should realize that we are deprived, that we are wicked, and without Jesus Christ, there is no hope for anybody. Who shall ever, have you ever been appalled at what you think or what you do sometimes? Have you ever been appalled? I have. Man, did I actually think that? Do I actually say that? Have you ever been appalled at that? Because if you haven't, you better be examining yourself. Have you ever been disgusted at the things you do and think sometimes? Oh, yes. This is not trash-talking you. I'm not trying to trash-talk anybody in here. I'm just telling you, wanting you to see what John is trying to get through. A true Christian will always understand that they are totally depraved and wicked without Christ. Always. We're not some big good. We're not just good on our own accord. We're not. Question three can be found in John 1, 2, and 3. Hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Do you know the commandments? I'm not talking about the Big Ten. I'm not talking just about the Big Ten. And he said one of them was a lawyer asking him questions, tempting him, saying, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. We all know that we are not saved by works. Amen? We cannot keep the law to be saved. It doesn't work. That's why Jesus Christ had to die on the cross. For by grace are you saved through faith. Jesus did all that for us. But what John is saying here is, he said, because Christ did that work, because He did it, our desire should be to keep every commandment that He has in there. Did you know that? That should be our desire. Not that it's going to save us, not that it's going to make it, but he's saying once we're saved, our desires change. And we should desire to do everything. Our desire should be to keep His commandment. We should be obedient to His word because of the sacrifice He made on that cross. Amen. Whenever you get, if you're saved, you're just not throwing this stuff aside and saying, well, you know, that don't apply to me now. Yes, it does. If we love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He's the one that will help it, that helps us to understand this. Question number four, test number four. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, what does it say? The love of the Father is not in him. That's just plain. I hate it. That's pretty blunt, is it not? Okay, what is the world? Is it this microphone? Is it that piano? Is it those pews? That's all part of the world. Yes. But what he's saying is, John is talking about the world system. That's what he's saying. He said, the love of things, idols, this false system that is out there. Let me add a little caveat into this. Let me say this. If you gravitate toward, and your desire is wholly towards worldly things, if your desire is, you know, you would rather listen to country music than you would gospel. You would rather watch a worldly movie than you would a gospel movie. You would rather listen to, read trash than you would read the Bible and read godly stuff. That's what he's talking about. If your desire is wholly towards that stuff, brother and sister, you need to take and do an evaluation. Because our desire is not to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If we find more joy in stuff that is created than the Creator, you better watch. You better be checking. The love of the Father is not in us. That's what it's saying. The preacher is just being picky. You could say that. You could say that this morning. The preacher is just being picky. That's fine. I'll take that. I'll tell you, if you got any emails, you can send them to Jamie. I'm just saying, though, you know, you could say that. But if you see your fault, and you know what, and you do something about it, it means God's still working with you. But if you're here this morning and you see and you're hearing this morning and you're saying, well, the preacher's just being picky, that's just nonsense, that's just this, that's just that, you better be reevaluating where you're at. Question number five, test number five. 1 John 2, 23. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same has not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Do you understand the Trinity? Do you believe in the Trinity? Do you believe that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, do you believe that it is three in one? You may not be able to explain it, but I'm here to tell you, if you do not believe that Jesus is who He said He is, you're not saved. Absolutely. Absolutely. 1 John 5, 17, 18, Jesus said this, but Jesus answered, my Father worketh hereunto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. He was. He was. Do you understand that Jesus is 100% God and was 100% man? That's pretty bad math, isn't it, Blinda? That's pretty bad math, but it's good theology.
That's right. Amen.
Amen? Amen. He was. And is the difference. And believing that and understanding that can be the difference between an eternity in heaven and an eternity in hell. Yeah. We believe that Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God. Question number six can be found in 1 John 3, 2 and 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Can I ask you a question? Do you long, get up in the morning, do you long to see Jesus Christ come this day?
Amen. Amen.
Amen? That's what he's saying. If you get up in the morning and your first thought is, Lord, is this the day? Could this be the day? That's what he listen, do you have a hope? Do you have a hope? He could take us home right now. Is that hope in you right now? Saying, Lord, come quickly, as John said. Even so, Lord, come. That should be something that whenever you're saved should be instilled in every one of us. Should be instilled. We're supposed to work until the Lord comes back. We are. Over in Matthew 25, it talks about what Jesus said will happen to a lazy servant. You can go over there and read it. I'm not going to get into it today. But we are supposed to work. But until he comes, we should be working. But as we are working, we should be longing, Lord, come. If you watch the events unfolding in the world around us today, I do. I watch a lot. I listen to a lot. And whenever I hear and listen to that stuff, I'm thinking to myself, I said, Lord, even so come. It's for him. That's what he said. Test number seven, question seven, can be found over in 1 John 3:9. This is a good one. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, let me get into this a little bit here. Before you start looking at me and saying this, that does not mean that a Christian cannot sin. Does not mean that. What it means is that you better not habitually. You better not get up and plan it. You better not do this. You better not do anything. You can't. What it's saying is you deliberately, knowingly, and habitually practice sin. So what is John saying? Well, you get up in the morning, man, I'm going to sin today. That's what he's saying. Maybe you don't get at it like that, but in your mind you're thinking, well, I'm going to do some stuff tonight that you know is wrong. John's saying, listen to what he said. He said, whosoever is born of God do not commit sin. You're not perpetually into sin. You're not habitually into it. For his seed remaineth in you. Because whenever you were saved, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit should be in there to try to convict you of this. Amen? It should be in here to do that. This is not, listen, no one is born of God will do that. If you're waking up in the morning and saying to yourself, I'm going to sin today, you're wrong. If you repeat it day after day after day, read my lips, you're not saved. You're not. And that's what he's trying to say here. John was the apostle of love. Do you know that? John is the apostle of love. But he said, if you do that, you're of the devil. Christians fall into sin. They don't dive into it. It isn't something we plan on doing. Question 8, test of it. 1 John 3:14. We know we have passed from death unto life because we have love for the brethren. And he who does not have love for the brethren, what's it say? Until death. Didn't you just cover that, Dave, in fellowship? No, this is fellowship on steroids. This is what he's saying here. This is fellowship on steroids. Not only do we like hanging out with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and talking about them, we truly love them. We truly love them. It isn't like I'm standing up here and saying, well, I like hanging out with Nancy and Sean and them, but I truly love them. That's what a Christian's heart is. You truly love them. You help one another. You give to one another. You pray for one another. Not because we must, but because we want to. Let's face it. Not everybody and not every Christian is lovable. Amen? I'm just putting it out there bluntly. Not every one of them is lovable. But praise God, he's saying we need to love them. It's can I tell you this? No matter what you think about them, if they're a Christian, you're going to be spending eternity with them. You better get used to it. God has saved us and we're going to spend eternity together. Here's a test for you. Do you love fellow believers more than you love unbelieving family members? I'm just laying it out there because that's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. You better. Oh my. Question 9. 1 John 4:6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Whereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You know what he's saying there? We are of God. He knoweth God heareth us. And he that is not of God heareth us not. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you love good preaching? Do you love good teaching? Do you love good testimonies? That's what he's saying. If you love to hear good teaching, good preaching, and good testimonies, then you are of Christ. Because you're wanting to hear as much of God's word as you can listen to. That's what he's saying. And if you're not in Christ, if you don't like hearing from God through the proclamation of His Word, it's a good sign you're not saved. If you do not like listening to God's Word and hearing what God has laid out for you, John's saying it's a good sign you're not saved. Oh my. The last one, question number 10, test number 10, 1 John 4:15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Do you ever get embarrassed whenever you're around somebody and they start talking about Jesus? You don't want them to think that you're a Jesus freak. You don't want them to think that you're some kind of wacko. That's what John's saying. He's saying, are you embarrassed about the one that done everything? That's what he's saying there when he said that. He said, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Now, let me add a little caveat to that. Because I know that there are some people that are hard for them to testify. I understand that. They're young, but listen to me. You don't go in some corner and say, oh my, they're going to talk about Jesus and I'm embarrassed of him. Are you like Jonah? God told Jonah to go and to speak. What did Jonah do? He went the opposite direction. That's a bad sign if you're embarrassed by Jesus Christ. If you don't want to talk about Jesus because you're worried about being called some crackpot, there are some of you, I understand, that are backwards. I understand that there are some young Christians in here. I understand that. I'm not talking about you because I know we need to grow in that. I understand that. I'm talking about folks who are afraid not to fit in. That's who I'm talking about. Because of Jesus Christ, they're embarrassed that they've got Jesus Christ with them. And they don't want Jesus getting in the way. They don't want Jesus doing that. So there in turn, what it said there, you know, he said, are you embarrassed of him? Because if you are, God's not in you. Now see what I'm saying? I knew I probably wouldn't get a bunch of amens out of this morning, but I wanted to get it through to you this morning. There are tares setting in churches. And they may very well be there till the day that they go out of this world and Jesus calls us all home. I don't know. But it isn't going to be because I didn't let people know what the book of 1 John says. The book of examination, the test. How'd you do? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but you know your heart. How'd you do on all these tests? How'd you do on all these? You may say, well, man, that hurts. That left a mark. Well, that's good because the Holy Spirit's dealing with you. Amen. That's why this altar's up here. But if you're sitting back there and you know these things apply to you, and you don't do nothing about it, woe is you. Woe is you. No one's going to judge you. No one's going to think bad of you. Today is the day to get this thing right. Belinda, you come get a song, please. It says over in 1 John 2:8, it says in 2:9-10, said, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is now in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother and abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. I mean, you can go all through this book. I'm just telling you, 1 John. And if you really apply it to your life, you will find out where you stand. And as I told you, this isn't something, well, I got two or three of them. No. They should be evident, and every one of those should be evidence in a Christian's life. Not just one or two of them.